This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeff.
Yes, Fred, you are correct.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And you know what? You can even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes.
Or listen to us on iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio. Folks, we're everywhere.
What's the word, ubiquitous?
Are we ubiquitous?
Maybe. We're getting there. We're working towards that. We need to do, you know what? We need a rap on the Modern Streetcar.
The choo-choo?
Yeah.
Did you like to call it?
Yeah. You know, I don't like those raps, but if it's a rap that has the Fred and Jeff Show logo.
No, you mean a rap like a song rap or rap like what to call it?
No.
Like a rap. Give them
a
definition.
The vinyl coating they put on the Modern Streetcar for ads.
Oh.
It's called a rap.
Yes.
So if there was a rap that had the Fred and Jeff Show logo, listen every Sunday at 11 with our parents.
Right, right.
And you'll be...
Mom and Dad will love you so.
Yeah.
Listen to the Fred and Jeff Show.
A little poem.
What do you think?
I don't like it.
Let's keep moving.
So this is, we are back in studio.
This is
astounding.
And we're without a producer.
Well, I am producing.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I am the producer.
We are in trouble today.
Yeah, the
Write it down. You know what is funny, Fred?
The warden gave the prisoners the keys.
Yes, and today is National Monkey Day.
Woo!
Go figure.
So we're monkeying
around.
We're
in charge.
Yeah, we are in charge of that.
And National Booyah Bays Day.
That is way bad.
Oy. So monkeys in Booyah Bays today.
But Jeff, we gotta cut this short.
Let's go.
Because we got a big show.
The first part of the show is brought to you folks by Tucson Happenings Magazine. Pick it up at a bazillion local outlets all over town.
Go to
TucsonHappenings.com.
A bazillion?
A lot.
Okay.
Mucho.
Okay, so coming up December 20th, which is next weekend, I believe, live from the Arroyo Cafe... The Old Pueblo Holiday Radio Show.
Good Lord. The 20th is next Friday.
Saturday.
Or next Saturday. What happened to the month?
Garrison Keillor.
I got to go Christmas shopping.
Eat your heart out.
Yes.
Yeah, a bottle of tequila for me.
Oh, I already got you planned.
Selección Suprema by Herradura is what I prefer.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to get you some of those Mexican jumping beans.
That's perfect, too. So this is at the Rialto Theater.
Put them in a stew.
This is at the Rialto Theater. $15 gets you in the door. Or if you bring grub... For the food bank, it's only $10.
Only $10, that's right.
So Lady Bridget Thumb is the owner of the Arroyo Cafe, and it's a wonderful,
it should be quite
wonderful
amusing
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also coming up on December 20th and the 21st, Saturday and Sunday, Santa is going to make an appearance at the Tucson Symphony Orchestra's Magic of Christmas.
And that little fat guy is going to be jumping around on the stage, potentially in a kilt, I heard.
That's what I heard, too.
I heard that.
Because there's going to be some Celtic music.
Jolly old Saint McNick.
That's right.
I like it.
I don't think he is of Scottish or Irish origin.
Ah, everyone's Scottish, Fred.
Well, we are actually a little Irish.
Yes, we are. Just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit. We're a wee bit of everything.
Wee bit.
And I mark that down on the census every 10 years.
Now, you know, that's in the write-in part. Other, wee bit.
Yeah.
Oh, everything.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. People, you have got to go see the Arizona Theater Company's current production called Murder for Two.
Oh, yes. It is quite amusing.
Oh, my dear sweet Lord.
Murder for Two. The perfect blend of music, mayhem, and murder.
Yeah, so...
It's happening today, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, but...
2 o'clock today.
We interviewed Joe Kanosian, who was one of the co-writers of the thing, and he also is starring in it here in the production in Tucson. And if anybody has ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy,
yes,
that's like one of the movie where I didn't stop laughing the whole time I was there. I mean, I had to go see it again because I missed lines because I was laughing so hard. It is exactly the same thing with Murder for Two. It is hysterical from the opening bit to the very end. You will love it. Go and see it. Murder for Two, Arizona Theater Company.
Hysteria.
It is hysterical.
You got more stuff?
No, well, we do, but we're going to talk about it after the break because...
Well, hold on. Well, I got two quickies.
Really?
Because these are happening right after the show is over. Folks over at The Loft, you can go see the films of 1939, The Women. That sounds like a fun one. And it's on a 35-millimeter print. Or go on down to McHale.
So what does it mean?
And check out the U of A women's basketball beating up on some poor little team out of somewhere else other than Tucson.
So what does it mean that it's on 35-millimeter?
Do you not understand the history of film, Fred?
No, I do, but I just, because all you do is you sit there and read stuff out of Tucson Happenings, and sometimes I don't think you know what it means.
Yeah, they're showing the actual print on 35-millimeter film. It's not a digital print. It's like listening to vinyl. You know the experience of listening to those old Fleetwood Mac rumor albums versus listening to it on
with
iTunes?
With the pops and the hisses?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Cool.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
But I just wanted to see if you knew what that meant.
Well, thank you.
I was testing you.
Mr. Science?
Well, it's not Mr. Science. It's, I am the producer today.
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here at the bottom of the... Oh, no. We're taking a quick break because we got to take a quick break. Because Fred doesn't know how to work the machine past five...
No,
four,
it's five. No, it's 5:46.
So we'll be right back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, your producer. And I'm with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Your owner.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right.
And Jeff, we just finished up with a small portion of what's going on in Tucson with our community calendar.
Yeah, people, you feeling kind of bad that you shorted the Tucson Happenings folk out of that whole segment of all the joy that's happening in the streets here in the Old Pueblo?
No, because we want people to go pick up a copy of Tucson Happenings.
Go to the website at TucsonHappenings.com.
Absolutely, but there is so much stuff going on, and we want to spend... Okay, this is, you know...
You're struggling with this segue.
No, I'm thinking about...
Segue it out, baby.
Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh, quite.
I'm taking a personal point, a personal point of privilege. Something like that.
Did you learn this when you were on the city council?
No, I learned it actually...
when you're on the debate team?
Yeah, exactly. Which is a million years ago.
Close.
But we both have, our family has, a deep affection for our next guest.
Yeah. And the organization. And we have a deep affection for tequila.
And tamales.
And tamales.
And a couple weeks from now, we'll be eating a lot of tamales.
And Santa Claus. But our next guest, holy cow, he rivals them all.
Dr. Julian Ackley, who is director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. Family favorite.
The family favorite?
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, he is one of, you are one of four directors ever.
That is correct.
In the choir's history. And it's celebrating its 75th anniversary this year.
Holy mackerel. Julian, of those 75 years, how many belong to you?
Actually, this is my 35th season.
Wow.
I began the director in 1980.
Now, who did you have to roll to get this job? That's what I want to know.
I think it was, didn't you replace Jeff Haskell?
No, my predecessor is John Davis.
Okay.
John Davis?
John Stewart Davis.
He doesn't know who that is.
I do. John Stewart Davis. How about that, Fred?
you're a good reader and a wonderful parroter.
So anyhow, Julian.
Well, the chorus was founded back in 1939 by Eduardo Caso, who was obviously the first director of our organization, who led our program from its initial stages up until 1965 when he suddenly passed away. Mm. And then it was at that time that a university grad student, Jeffrey Haskell, came on board and was actually going to lead the chorus for just a short time as he was continuing his studies at the University of Arizona. but then actually stayed for 10 years. In 1975, he was announced his retirement to go work at the university, and John Stuart Davis became the director. And actually, John began his career as a chorister under Mr. Casso back in the 1940s.
Whoa.
So it was one of the boys that had come back to lead the program.
And Julian, were you in the choir when you were a wee lad?
I would love to say that, but unfortunately that wasn't the case.
What did your folks have you doing on Saturdays?
I actually did have an opportunity to consider the boys' chorus, and at that time in my family's life, we decided that I would take piano lessons, of which I did for a number of years.
We all did that, Julia.
Fred, I was taught by nuns.
It's like the Bataan Force March to take piano. Did you practice your piano yet today? No, I'll do it now.
But seriously, we were St. Pierre and Paul, and the nuns were teaching us how to play piano.
Oh, here we go again.
After school, we'd walk across to the convent, And we knock on the door and they let us in. And as you cannot go past like the entryway, so they had a piano in one of the side rooms, and I got a bunch of my scars on my hands from
emotional scars Fred has.
No, I have physical
scars. More
about
you though, Julian. Less about Fred and his trauma as a child. So you became the head honcho at the Tucson Arizona Boys Choir.
Yes, that was in 1980, September of 1980. And I had been appointed as an interim director for 1 year as they did a national search for a new conductor. And I happened to be one of the candidates. And
right here in our own backyard.
And yeah. Already moved everything into the office. So
you might as well let him stay. Hey, let him stay. He's a nice guy.
This stuff is heavy. I don't want to move it again.
His folks made him practice the piano when he was a kid, and he couldn't come out to the chorus. Give him a So where did you go to school?
I was a graduate of Palo Verde High School and then went to the University of Arizona, where my degrees are in music education and vocal performance.
So that kind of works right in with your job.
Yes.
Perfect.
I was teaching at the time in TUSD at Doolin Middle School, and I became the assistant conductor with John Davis back in 1978. So for 2 years, I had some experience with the boys' chorus. But then began in 1980. It was not my career goal to be the director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus for 35 years, but I have to tell you, once becoming involved with this organization, I really feel its extraordinary power and significance for our community. So it's been my pleasure to be here.
So what was your career goal way back 35 years ago?
Well, I was working on a doctorate in music education, and I thought that I wanted to teach at the university level of music education, which would be, my goal would be to teach teachers of music of how to teach.
Oh, wow.
And then again, once I became involved in this organization, I thought, I'll do it for 5 years. 5 years went like 5 minutes. And then my son became involved. And of course, I had to be the director when he was involved. And then
Fred's kids got involved.
Yes.
And you had to be the director then.
Somebody needed to rule over those little monkeys. I got to tell you something, though, Julian. I'm certain you've heard this over and over again, how valuable the boys' chorus experience has been for these young men, and it's due in large part because of you and how you respect them, and teach them to respect themselves and others. And I think the singing aside, the entertainment aside, to me the value of having my kids in the boys' chorus was them having that experience about learning to be good citizens and good young men. And parents across the board, I will say that over and over and over again, because that's the leadership you've brought to the organization. Wonderful kids, wonderful songs. Okay, kind of, plastic dancing, but but these kids come out of the program just as phenomenal human beings, and it's because of how you respect them, how you treat them, the expectations you place on them. And my kids just, they carry things still to this day from what they brought out of the boys' chorus.
Well said, Fred. Well said. Because I know they're excellent ropers.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, of course, roping is a unique aspect of our program. But thank you for your comments about the core values that we developed at the boys' chorus, because really, the study and performance of choral music is only a vehicle for a bigger vision, and that is to have core values developed of honesty, integrity, camaraderie with others who enjoy doing the same types of things, and being a good person. And it really isn't about me, because our whole philosophy, my philosophy, is service to others. We call it our servant leader program, of where these boys are able to develop a leadership training, not through words, but through example.
And you are the embodiment of that.
Yeah, and the pleasure of knowing a couple of your brothers,
yes,
who are, you know, we're always counting the silver when they leave the house, kind of thing. But really, your mom and dad, I mean, your mom and dad are treasures.
Yes.
And you really are you know, one of the Tucson treasures. I mean, Julian, we really appreciate everything you do in our community.
Well, thank you.
So 75 years.
Yes.
And what do you got coming up for us this holiday season?
Well, actually, today is our annual holiday concert. There are two programs, a 3 o'clock matinee and a 7:30 evening program at Crowder Hall at the University of Arizona School of Music. We have a few tickets left for the matinee, but there are still tickets available for the evening concert, and we invite the community to come around. Actually, this is the 75th anniversary concert, because Mr. Casso's first concert was on Christmas Eve of 1939.
Wow, that's great.
He had six boys in the program at that time, and frankly, he wasn't comfortable that they could pull it off, so he recruited two high school girls to stand behind them and sing along. The only two girls that were ever in the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. But obviously, the legacy of his vision has continued now for 7.5 decades. And the concert today will feature all different types of holiday music, including Christmas, of course, sacred and secular, and Hanukkah. And a feature will be John Rutter's Gloria. It's a three-movement piece that will be sung by our touring chorus and our young men's ensemble, so the full range of singing from soprano to bass, and with percussion and brass. It should be pretty exceptional, and we'd love to have people come out and join the boys' chorus on their holiday concert.
Can you give us a sneak peek real quick? This is radio, Julian. No one sees you waving your hands around like the conductor.
That was a joke.
It was a good one, too.
And here's the reality. I mean, a lot of people, the holiday doesn't begin until they get to see the Boys' Chorus concert.
Yes.
Right.
And so those people, I think, already bought their tickets. But really, let's invite the folks. I mean, at the 75th anniversary, start your family tradition with a trip to the Boys' Chorus concert, because it is just the sweetest thing. The music is wonderful. It is just such a wonderful way to start
absolutely
the holiday season.
Absolutely. And if you haven't been to Crowder Hall, it's right at Speedway and Park.
And there's parking
so there's
across
plenty
the street.
Of parking on the north side of Speedway. Walk right underneath the street, and yep, you're there. And the house is great. The sound is phenomenal. I mean, you guys could not have picked a better venue.
It is a great venue for this concert. And the boys, of course, are singing, and it's all of our boys, including our brand new ensemble this year, which is the Cadet Choir. It's for first and second graders, 6 and 7 year olds. They're actually being debuted today at the concert. And then our core group of the training chorus, the intermediates of the town singers, our touring chorus, and then our young men's ensemble. But we also have an orchestra that accompanies the boys, and you are correct. The acoustics in Crowder Hall are really, really favorable to music making.
It really is. So these folks that are in your symphony, the folks playing instruments, where are they from?
They're all paid professionals throughout the Tucson here, and it includes string and percussion and brass and organ and piano. So
that's great. Yeah. So what does the next 75 years look like for the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus?
Well, I know that we are so appreciative of the long-term support of all Tucsonans for their Singing Goodwill ambassadors. We actually have an opportunity this year in our 75th anniversary to represent the community on an upcoming tour. We'll be traveling to France, Switzerland, and Germany June of 2015.
I volunteered to chaperone.
I volunteer to be a spectacle. Or not a spectacle, a spectator. I'm only a spectacle.
You are a spectacle.
Each year, the chorus takes a trip somewhere, either nationally or internationally, and it will be a real great educational opportunity for our young men, and I know that they will represent our community well on that trip.
How do you choose these trips? Because you guys have been all over the world, and I mean, when I say all over the world, I mean all. You've been to China, you've
yes
been to the Ukraine,
yes,
you've been everywhere you can think of. How do you guys pick the trips? And I'm sorry, Julian, we only have a minute.
Yes.
Well, 2 minutes, maybe. Go ahead.
We Actually, the trips are initiated through invitations. We are going to France because we've had an invitation from Le Cœur des Fonds in Paris to come and do a joint concert with them. Our trip to Switzerland is because a very prominent Swiss businessman was here in Tucson and saw a performance of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus and has made the arrangements for us to come for a week into Switzerland.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
that's wonderful.
And the German aspect of this is because we have great friends in Frankfurt Oder, which is Eastern Germany, Frankfurt, who we have had a collaboration with, and they performed here in Tucson, and we will be going to perform there. So it usually is determined by invitations that come into our program.
And I assume those come in all the time.
Yes, and it's nice to have those invitations because it gives us some choices.
That's right. Great.
Well,
that's
we
great.
Have 1 minute left, and to facilitate those choices, you have your biggest fundraiser going on right now.
That is correct.
Which is the Christmas Tree Lot.
That is correct. We're at a new location. It's at Broadway and Columbus. It's just right next to the Girl Scout building. It's on the south. Southeast, down just east of Columbus. Beautiful fresh cut trees at competitive prices, and all of the workers at the tree lot are volunteers, our families who come out and volunteer, and it really is helpful for the Tucson Boys Chorus and allows our community to have really nice Christmas and holiday decorations.
That's awesome. Well, Julian, thanks for everything that you do.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate
that. Absolutely. It's great.
So we have an agenda for everybody. The concert today, the matinee or the evening performance,
right?
And get a Christmas tree from the boys' chorus.
Yeah. On your way to the concert.
Or on your way home from the concert.
Yeah. Continue that family tradition or start a new one, but it's a great way to begin the holidays.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking some more holiday fun after the break.
Twinkle lights. Twinkle, twinkle. Here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
I like the way you're thinking, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. Now, Jeffrey, we were just talking to Julian Ackerley, the director of
Dr. Julian Ackerley. Pardon me very much.
The director of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. And again, we want to encourage people to go to the concert, either the matinee or the evening performance of the Boys Chorus tonight.
Today, folks. Crowder Hall down at the U of A.
And also pick up the Christmas tree at the Christmas tree lot over at Broadway and Columbus, just east of Columbus next to the Girl Scout building.
Right.
But we also want to encourage people another holiday tradition here in the Old Pueblo.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It is the 5K Fun Run. 5K Fun Run through Winter Haven. It's tonight at 5 o'clock.
Wow.
5K Fun Run, Winter Haven, 5 o'clock.
Well, actually, the Winter Haven Festival of Lights is what I was getting towards.
Well, what about the 5K Fun Run?
Dude, if you get out tonight and do the 5K Fun Run, I'll give you $10.
Listen.
And some hot chocolate.
You giving me $10, I'd walk over hot coals, but I know you would never give me the $10.
I would give you $10.
Over our lifetime, you probably owe me thousands of dollars where every time you start, okay, Jeff, if you do this, I'll give you $10. And then
give me the money. Always paid off. Always paid off.
5K Fun Run, Winter Haven Run, through the lights.
All right, anyways, we have
antlers,
with us...
antlers, lights, striped socks, Jeff, all kinds of good times.
Jeff?
Yes, Fred?
Focus. I'm the producer. Focus.
Oh, geez, I hate the new arrangement.
So, we want to...
Thank goodness this is only a 1 week and done arrangement.
Maybe. Who knows? I enjoy doing this.
Oh, gosh.
And as long as they don't blow up the system, they may let me keep on doing it.
I'm making a phone call right when we're done.
Okay. I'll give you the number.
What is our number?
1-800-LET-FRED-PRODUCE. That's the number.
You're just resume padding again.
Yes, I am.
That's the whole reason you were on the city council for 8 years. All about padding the resume.
That is right.
So who we got next?
No, we have the Brown brothers.
Brown brothers.
Jeffrey and
Le
Jordan.
Brothers Maird. Right?
Hi, guys. How are you? Good morning. Beautiful Sunday morning.
Hey, guys.
So we have Jordan.
They got tired of waiting.
Yeah, they did. You get Jordan and Jeffrey. Now,
you guys are brothers?
We are. We're actually two of five siblings that Stan and Shirley Brown hatched and grew up in Winter Haven.
Very fun.
And interesting note, you just had Julian on, the four boys in the family. We were all part of the Tucson Boys Chorus, and I toured with Julian Ackerley on his very first two tours when he was with the first started with the Boys Chorus.
Where'd you guys go?
Down into Mexico. And then throughout the continental U.S.
That's awesome. Yeah. Those were back in the days they couldn't get across the line other than Mexico, right?
That's right.
Didn't have the money.
That's right.
Hey, today we're going to go, our international tour this year for the boys' course is...
Nogales,
Arizona. Yay!
Tequila!
Now they're going to Switzerland. You guys feel a little gypped? Yeah.
Well, when they went to China, I sure did.
Yes,
I was like, oh, dear.
Yeah, where did your kids go, Fred?
So, well, they went to Japan.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Russia. Where else are they? They did some domestic stuff. They went to Hawaii, New York. They toured the Midwest.
Did they ever go to school?
No, the tours were always during the summer.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, talking to you guys,
well,
you know, our age.
Our tours were during the spring and winter time. It was February, March, April.
Oh, wow.
Most of the earlier ones.
So who's really getting gypped now?
No kidding.
We actually had to you know, do our homework on the bus and then mail it in and stuff. It was pretty crazy. But yeah, we were nodding here as Dr. Ackerley was talking and how it made us gentlemen. And I think that's part of why we continue to do what we do for Winter Haven and giving back to the community. It's in our blood.
That's awesome. I
was definitely a hooligan, and Julian set me straight several times.
Oh, that's awesome. Julian's a good man.
Yes,
so, Fred, proper introduction now of our wonderful guest, the Browns.
I gave them the best introduction I could.
So,
okay, this is the Brown family is celebrating 50 years of residency in Winter Haven, which means 50 years of holiday decorations.
Each and every year, yes.
For the old Pueblo.
Wow. Yep. Good for you guys.
And I'll tell you, even during the energy crisis of 1973, when the neighborhood voted to not put all the big lights up and not do displays, because that would be really selfish for us to do that and to steal the energy, right? We put out luminarias across all the fronts, all our walkways and stuff, and we did that for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So we've decorated every single year that we've lived there since 1964.
Did you qualify as a Catholic church at that point?
What does that mean?
You know, because of the candles and the luminarias. And, don't you?
So when your folks moved into Winter Haven, was there a Festival of Lights at that point?
Yes, actually, it had started and when the neighborhood it didn't even have homes. C.B. Richards was the original developer of the neighborhood, and he the lots were empty, and he had this wash going down the middle called Christmas Wash, and he had a friend who was had a nursery with plants, and it was going out of business, and so C.B. Richards went over, and he bought up all the Aleppo pines, little saplings, and planted them up and down Christmas Avenue, and put lights on them, and brought people into the neighborhood to sell lots.
Okay, let's be honest. Christmas Avenue is still Christmas Wash.
Christmas Wash. Oh, sure enough. Yep. Oh, yeah, during the monsoon season, you see all the things floating down, sofas and trash cans and people on their rafts. Yeah, it still floods terribly. And most of the residents along Christmas Avenue have to pay flood insurance as well. But it's fun.
But it feeds the pines.
Absolutely. Well, the lawns do that mostly. And the fertilizing of the lawns and the deep watering for the lawns really takes good care of the pines, and we're probably going to have them for another 20 years. They are 65 years old because Winter Haven is celebrating 65 years this year. So, the lots were, it was really a marketing tool. That's how the festival began.
That's
was
fabulous.
To sell the lots, and then all the lots were sold, and they continued. C.B. Richards actually put money out of his own pocket to give to people that decorated the best. He of course was the judge, and he voted on which ones did the best displays and best use of lights, et cetera.
His mom won every year.
Yeah, right.
Someone's mom won every year. But that's cool. So you guys, your family, your folks moved in 50 years ago.
Right. I was 4 months old at the time, so I really had no say in
the matter. Are you the oldest child?
I am the eldest, and Jordan is the middle child. And then we've got another brother and a sister and another brother, baby brother, who lived in Winter Haven almost all his life and then just moved a couple years ago back to Illinois.
Now, are you folks from Tucson? Are your folks from Tucson?
Born and raised. Mom and dad are not.
Yeah, dad's from Michigan. Mom's from Jersey.
And they showed up here in Tucson, had some babies, and decided we want to live in this neighborhood.
That's right.
And they've been there ever since.
Ever since.
That's awesome.
We still own the home that we grew up in. Mom and Dad, a few years ago, moved up to the corner of Christmas and Kleindale, right next to the island, which was Mom's dream home all her life, that is, since she moved into Winter Haven. And there was an opportunity, and Dad seized it. And so we still own the homestead on Far Street, but now they're up on Christmas and Kleindale. And it's the big house on the corner that everyone thinks is the clubhouse for the community.
Oh, because your mom likes everyone coming around.
We decorate, and there's so many cars coming and going because there's so many in our family.
That's great. So what was your favorite Christmas in Winter Haven? Because you guys can't decorate the house the same every year,
no,
do you?
No, it's a challenge. We're always trying to come up with a new idea year after year. And it's always fun around Thanksgiving. We'll be around the table as a family joking around about what we want to throw on the lawn that year. And
but you're understating it. Because you're not just throwing things on the lawn.
No, it's
you
a little guys, more complicated. Our family, sorry, Jordan, we've won the grand prize 19 times. So we go kind of go out all out. We've scaled back now that we're getting older. But
I remember we were this one year, I threw out, it would be funny, let's have aliens come down and land and they'll be depicting Christmas scenes. And we all laughed about it. And then we looked at each other and we're like, we're going to do it.
Well, yeah, that's a great idea.
That's exactly what we did.
We've done some pretty funky things.
Yeah. And Jeffrey, what about you? What was your favorite?
You know, it's really hard as I go back and I think about 50 years, you know, there's been so many different ones. I need to reiterate, though, that there is no requirement for any resident that says you have to decorate. And that's the brilliant thing about the festival. For 65 years, every resident has done this voluntarily, because they wanted to brighten people's holidays. They wanted to give back to the community. And a few years ago, we adopted the Community Food Bank as a beneficiary. So we invite people to come in free of charge, bring some food, bring some cash, help the food bank, help those less fortunate. So it really is a win-win-win for everyone. And you know, we pay out of our pocket all the expenses for our lights, for our power. We don't get a credit from Tucson Electric Power. We have to pay about $65,000, I think, each year for the two-week period of the festival.
As a neighborhood.
As a neighborhood. And we assess ourselves on our monthly bills for the trash and the water, and there's a portion that goes
through
the festival.
And traffic control and all that.
Traffic control, right. Yeah. The whole thing. It's very costly, and people don't really understand that we pay that out of our pockets.
So you guys don't have any big sponsors, any big corporate sponsors anymore?
We did turn to a few of them, yes. Jim Click was one of them. The one of the casinos, I believe, is also one of them.
Casino del Sol,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah, that's great. So you got folks out there understanding how important this is to the community and kind of stepping up financially to help y'all out.
Yes, yes. And the great thing about the fundraiser for the Community Food Bank, last year we raised $18,000 and 43,000 pounds of food for the canned food bank.
That's fabulous.
That's a lot of mac and cheese.
That is a lot of mac and cheese. That's great. Good for you guys. And have you guys been doing that for a long time, raising the food for the food bank?
The Winter Haven began that, I believe it was 7 or 8 years ago.
That's amazing. So you guys have just garnered tons of money and food for the food bank.
Yeah.
It's way to make a great thing even better.
Yeah, it's one of their largest fundraisers for the year.
That's awesome.
And if Winter Haven didn't do this, it would really be a detriment.
So we encourage people to please, when you do come at the entrances, there will be people there to accept the donations.
Awesome. Now, you guys are insiders. Well, you've been there forever.
But
let's find. I know, Fred. We got to take a break. But hold on a minute.
No, that's not it. Go ahead. I just wanted to stop the flow. That was my whole goal.
Can we invite people to sign our guest book?
You should.
And share a memory.
Yeah, but here's my question. So you're as insiders. Where should people park?
There is no set parking area. It's basically a kind of, you
free
know, go
for all.
Free
find
for all. You just find your parking.
Then
there's
let me
a couple
ask,
of
let me
church parking
the
lots that are good.
Where should people not park?
In the neighborhood. it's all walk-through this year. There's one drive-through, and that's the very last night, which is the 27th of the month. But from last night on, it's all walk-through, and they have the party bike, and they've got the hay rides and the trolley. So there are other ways to go around if you'd like to not walk, but basically it's a walking event.
Good.
And
any caroling?
I hope so.
Okay, so people could just come in and carol their little hearts
out. We were crazy busy last night, so I didn't hear any, but there was some at the island for the opening ceremonies, which was lovely.
Yeah, so last night, that's the point I was going to get to, is last night was opening night. And it runs through till
the 27th is the last night. Now, we'll have our lights up, you know, probably through the new year, depending on the weather is good. But the last night officially of the festival is the 27th of the month.
Awesome. 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 Well, guys, thanks a bunch for what you guys do. Thanks for, you know, keeping it in the family as well.
Well, right, thank you for having us on. And yeah, we sure appreciate everyone coming out and supporting and thanking Mom and Dad, especially, because it's really their fault that we've done this for so many years. And we do have an area where they can actually sign what we call a guest book, and they can share their favorite memory or just thank Mom and Dad and the family for 50 golden years.
No, that's awesome. Give us the address of that house.
3354 North Christmas Avenue. It's the big house on the corner right by the island. You really can't miss it. In the very center of the neighborhood.
Is that the one that usually has the huge tree on it, the lit tree?
No.
That's a
different, yeah. No. Yeah, I don't think
this year, makes it a Christmas. Last night was pretty incredible. If you go this year, you're going to see a lot of really incredible things scattered throughout the neighborhood. It's pretty awesome this year.
Any third generation coming up? Are we taking this
we've been training. Fourth generation. Oh yes.
You guys are training the kids.
We're training the kids coming up. Yep. We're going to train them to go towards 100.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thanks a ton. We really appreciate what you do.
Thank you, guys. And likewise. Oh. Thank you for what you do for the community.
All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more here, wishing more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show.
Are we
this
on?
This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother,
Fred?
Jeff.
Are we on?
We're on.
Okay, hey! Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the show is being produced by Fred Ronstadt.
Oh, we've already had our first mistake. How did that happen?
How's that a mistake? That's just
I'm just giving you a hard time.
That's just you.
Just giving you a hard time. What,
so we are
what's life without a little brother giving you a hard time?
Nothing. Probably peaceful. Happy. Yeah. So we are sitting here celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And this is like, you know, leading into the holidays.
We are in the holidays.
I guess we are.
We are knee deep. We've had Halloween, we've had Thanksgiving, now we're heading...
Well, and Hanukkah is this week.
Hanukkah.
Christmas coming up.
I think Festivus is the week after next.
Or, I forget the date on that.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. But I do know that I'm going to be airing my grievances next week. So, and I heard you're going to be showing feats of strength
yes,
later
today. I will show feats of strength, no problem. No problem at all. So we are sitting here talking about the holidays. So we had Julian Ackerley on, with Dr. Julian Ackerley, which is Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. Go tonight, go this afternoon to the concert, buy a tree over at the lot at Broadway in Columbus. And we've been talking Winter Haven. But one of my favorite things that I've participated in several years is the Wishing Tree in Winter Haven.
How did you participate in it?
It's a participatory.
Oh, but you weren't the guy out there with the pens and the paper and the and
maybe
the
I was. Yes, I was.
No, I'm asking you. Were you that guy?
No, I was not that guy. But there is no guy that does that. There's no like
someone has to replenish the paper.
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
little elves do that. It's Winter Haven. It's Christmas time. It's little elves.
I love that.
Actually. Love that. But we have the people with us who...
the ladies!
Who hire in those little elves.
Yes!
Who support the little elves. And so, Kathleen Bethel and her lovely daughter, Liz Baker, who've been on the show before in a different capacity with the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Festival, Fair, the Science Fair, but they're here in a different capacity. They are the curators or caretakers of the Wishing Tree in Winter Haven.
So, is that a fair description? The caretakers, the curators?
I think that is fair. You know, it's kind of had an unusual life. It started off as my science fair project in the seventh grade. So this will be the 15th year of the Wishing Tree.
Oh, now wait a minute. A Wishing Tree is a science fair project?
Yes.
How did that work? What was your hypothesis on that one?
Yeah, science fair projects come from unexpected places.
Yes.
So I was really interested in, I was hearing all of the negative media about how materialistic people were. And, you know, it was the new millennium and all that's all people could talk about, especially on the news. So I wanted to do a study and I decided to use Winter Haven as a focus group. And so we set up the Wishing Tree and just put out little die cuts, pieces of paper and staples and asked people to write a wish.
And I thought that was going to be your project. Here's a wishing tree. Here's paper. Here's staples. No pens. What would people do?
Believe me, when we run out, we know about it.
Hey, we need more pens out here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you had this great idea.
Yes.
And then?
So we typed up all of the data after the 2 weeks. And
what data were you collecting?
The people's wishes themselves.
Oh, so you actually look... You violated everyone's wishes? So the wish that I had that didn't come true, now I know why?
No.
There you were opening it up going, oh, Jeff wanted a new train set for Christmas.
No, the person who makes the wish cannot tell somebody else.
Oh.
But there has to be a receiver of the wish.
Got it.
And so many do come true.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember last year we were at the tree and one girl looked at her fiancé. And we were just, this was when you and I were there interviewing people,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Folks, if you haven't heard this, you got to go back to last year's show and maybe we'll repost it. But she wanted a puppy and he did not. And it was pretty funny. So anyhow, back to your story. Sorry.
So I found that people wished for non-materialistic items 73% of the time. And they wished for others more than themselves, far more. And they wished for non-material items of love, peace, happiness, health, and to have a Merry Christmas. Those were the top five wishes.
No Mercedes-Benz in there?
There were a few, but they were so far outnumbered by the kindness and generosity of the tree.
That's awesome.
So we continued it. And I actually did a six-year follow-up study to see how things changed over the years, too.
And what did you find out?
World events did have a big difference. The year after September 11th, there were a lot more wishes, for people's safety and for health of family members and for New Yorkers in particular. Same with after that big tsunami in 2005, there were a lot of wishes for those people. So the wishes did fluctuate and change. But after I graduated, we couldn't stop because the tree really took on a life of its own. And as Kathleen said, so many wishes have been granted.
Now, Kathleen, tell us about that.
Well, that's one of the neatest things about being a homeowner in Winter Haven. We get to watch thousands of people come into the neighborhood every year, and it's grown from about 2,800 wishes the first year that Liz did her project to last year when we counted it was over 10,000 wishes.
Wow.
And we do count every wish, and we have saved every wish for 15 years, much to my husband's dismay. We have every wish that everyone ever made, and we don't know what we're going to do with them yet. Liz says she's going to do a book or a doctoral study someday on them, but we do still have everyone's wish.
I made three last year.
Yeah, Fred did make three. Number one, new guest host or new co-host for the show. Number two, unending supply of tequila.
Number three,
a soft place to land.
No, unending supply of cigars.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You have to have the compliment.
Some wishes come true, but not all.
Yeah, I'm going to be here till I'm 90, Fred. You're never getting rid of me.
And there are, there are fun wishes like those. And then there are really heartfelt, heartbreaking wishes that, when people helped me type them in, they would cry as they entered
them.
As there are some that are just so personal and people who really do need help. And then there are really happy stories, like we've had multiple proposals and weddings under our tree.
No way.
Yes. It's been pretty exciting. We've had lots of knocks on the door or calls ahead of time. One of my favorite wishes was when a fiancé wanted to ask his bride-to-be to marry him, and she had put a wish on the tree saying, I hope my boyfriend will ask me to marry him this year. Well, he snuck back at midnight, took the wish off the tree. It's the only wish we don't think we have, and put it in the ring box, and he proposed to her on Christmas morning.
Oh, that's outstanding.
It's a lot of happy stories.
Wow.
So where is the Wishing Tree in Winter Haven?
We are right on Christmas Avenue. So as you come in the main entrance, you can't miss us. We're on the left-hand side, and it's the tree that's covered in chains of paper.
Right. All right, folks, you've got to get down to Winter Haven Festival of Lights. Get in there, make your wish, because wishes do come true. And so I think your hypothesis, you've proven it, that not only do wishes come true, but people ask for things other than them for themselves during this holiday season.
Absolutely. People really get in the holiday spirit.
Thank you so much. Thanks for what you guys are doing.
And here's a little holiday spirit. Give us a call at 520-428-5104.
And?
520-428-5104. And we'll send you a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield Florist and dinner at PETA Jungle.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, folks. Get out there and make it a great holiday season. Go out there and shake your neighbor's hand, give somebody a hug, smile at somebody, because it'll make someone's day. And we will talk to you some more next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow.
The Friend Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.